the American Journal. We are in Washington, D.C. today. A lot going on over here. And so that's why, well, you could find her. I'm at the Rumble studio, and we're very thankful for Rumble allowing us access and to utilize their studio to bring you today's broadcast, because there's a lot going on in Washington, D.C. And we've got our eyes all over the place right now. In just a few moments, I'm going to be breaking down my latest report regards to how I believe our federal government is trying their very best to suppress information to you, the American people, in regards to the violence committed by Afghan so-called refugees. When we brought them onto our military bases, and not we, as in you and I, and we're talking about the Biden regime, when they brought them onto the military bases, there was an immediate surge in violent sexual assault cases. And then quietly, you didn't hear about it ever again. Doesn't mean it stopped. Doesn't mean it stopped at all. I've been digging into all of that. Plus, they also caused $260 million in damages while we brought those people onto our military bases to seek emergency shelter so that they weren't slaughtered by the Taliban. So as a thank you, of course, they cost you, the taxpayers, $260 million for just that, you know, a little damages, broken furniture, and just destroying the place, clogging up the plumbing, and so much more. So a lot going on over there that we're going to dig into in just a few moments. Plus, over the weekend, I mean, I have been trying my very best to get answers in regards to a U.S. service member who was assaulted by a group of Afghan men, according to reports, back in 2021. I've been on this case since the very beginning, and I've repeatedly reached out for comment, tried to understand where the investigation currently stands, so I wanted to make sure those men weren't released into our country. Well, unfortunately, folks, the current FBI doesn't want to answer any questions in regards to the investigation that they led. They don't have any details for us. Now, I've got all the emails. We're going to call it out because enough is enough. You know, they claim to be transparent and they want to be transparent with the American people. And these were the people that were the most vocal under Christopher Wray and going after him all the time. Well, we're going to call garbage on this one because, folks, we have asked these questions. I have given them ample opportunity to discuss all of this with us, to give us the information. We don't even want the victim's information. I specifically am asking for suspects. Were they charged? Were they deported? Were they released into our country? And for some reason, the FBI, under this new leadership, is still refusing to answer those questions. I've got tons of documents declaring just that they do not want to answer these questions, that they're in fact dodging all of this. And there's no reason for it. There's no reason at all. Where are these men that assaulted a U.S. service member, a female U.S. service member? Are they now your neighbors? Well, you, the people, have every right to understand where these people were placed. And the fact that they don't want to tell us tells you everything you need to know about this so-called transparent new administration. I'll bring you the details on that in just a bit. Plus, obviously, there's a lot more going on all around the country that we look forward to digging into as well. Got an update on the Seditious Six, as well as the CDC finally admitting that children were killed by the COVID jabs. Obviously, that's an alarming report. I'll bring you the latest on that. And Trump is also weighing in on the Ukrainian corruption issues. And you may have seen it over the weekend. Zelensky's top official, his chief of staff, was also someone who was just swept into the corruption allegations. And for some reason, Zelensky himself is just trying to dodge accountability. Folks, that's your money. What the heck do they do with it? Also, we're going to play a clip, and I think it's a great clip, of Don Jr., obviously President Trump's son, weighing in on the censorship nonsense. Jillian Michaels is someone who is all of a sudden now being thrown into the political sphere because she is obviously a former Democrat who's claiming now to be a Republican. But she doesn't seem to understand the censorship issue and why we shouldn't allow censorship. In fact, she just hates Nick Fuentes so much that she can't understand why anyone would want him to have his own platform. Don Jr. actually weighing in on that, and it was quite the enlightening exchange. I'll play that clip for you. Also, Elon Musk answering the questions in regards to Doge. So we got that clip for you as well coming up in just a little bit. We've got about 2 more hours to unpack on the American Journal. I've got so many more stories that I want to make sure you guys know about. So do not go anywhere. More to discuss. In the meantime, though, make sure to head on over to alexjonesapp.com. Download the app if you haven't done so already. Folks, there's a reason why we're telling you to do that, so do it right now. alexjonesapp.com. We'll be right back.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ. hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. We're bouncing back from this holiday week. A lot going on all across the country, of course, news-wise. So in case you decided to hit snooze on the news cycle, we're catching you up on all things related to that. So thank you for being here. And of course, you're probably like, Brianna, where are you? You're not in your usual set. No, we're not. We're in Washington, D.C. today over at the Rumble studio. We're very thankful for Rumble allowing us to carry out this broadcast here on their set. Now, a little programming note. Tomorrow, I won't be hosting American Journal. It will actually be Harrison Smith. Will kind of be like a throwback for him, of course, but I will be over on the War Room hosting from Washington, D.C. I will be joined by several incredible congressional members and a senator, and we look forward to having them in the studio for a great sit down and a very important discussion. So we look forward to doing just that tomorrow. I'll be hosting again War Room 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Don't miss it. We're kicking off the show with a lot going on, so you're going to want to be there. Also on Thursday, we'll be airing all of the really important interviews that I'm doing over at the Pentagon. As many of you guys know, as an independent journalist, I've been now credentialed to cover the Pentagon, which obviously has the corporate media unhinged. But we're excited about that. I will be there both tomorrow and Wednesday, sitting down with some people you may be familiar with, and maybe some faces you don't really know too well, but you're going to learn a lot about them when we have that discussion tomorrow. So we look forward to just that. All right. So I've been digging into a lot, and I wanted to bring you the very latest in regards to all of this, because so many people miss things. Stories happen in the news cycle, and then they just move on. As the news cycle is very chaotic. But I have a habit of just not letting up on things. When there's a story that I think is very important for the American people to understand through and through, I keep my eye on just that. In 2021, there was several stories about how we shuffled thousands of Afghan so-called refugees onto our U.S. military bases, thanks to the Biden regime. And then we saw instantly a surge in sexual assault cases. Now, we saw at least six cases of violence and sexual assaults, and for some reason, they magically stopped. Now, it's not that they just all of a sudden stopped having these issues. It's very apparent that the Biden regime didn't want it coming out, that a lot of these individuals that they shuffled in were violent, and so they stopped reporting on it to the media. But there were so many cases, and we've got this up for your screen. I've been stashing away articles when all of this started going down. Federal officials say Afghan refugee accused of raping. This was a woman in this article, I should say, was properly vetted. That was one, of course. There was two Afghans, of course, who one of them was accused of sexually assaulting a child. Another one was accused of spousal abuse. Now, again, we don't know where that case is either these days. I'll explain why this is a big issue. Another Afghan refugee accused of assaulting a three-year-old girl. And then another group of Afghan men were accused of assaulting a female soldier over at Fort Bliss. Now, let me explain to you why this is very important. Let's focus on that last story that you see on your screen. That female service member who was assaulted by a gang of Afghan men. Now, the details were very, very limited. We don't know if this was just an assault or if this was a sexual assault. But given the history of these men, I could promise you it was very likely a sexual assault. They behave like animals. We know this. You just heard Mark Lucas detail what they did to his female colleagues in Afghanistan, what they were trying to do, at least I should say. And if you ever read the Quran, you know that they allow their men to capture sex slaves who are non-believers. It is in the Quran. They are allowed to commit violent acts against non-believers. So I've been following that story for years now, and I wanted to know exactly where those men were. I want to make sure that they weren't our neighbors. They weren't just shuffled into the country after these allegations made their way to the surface. And under the Biden regime, I was surprised to find out that they weren't going to tell me anything about it. I've sent over several Freedom of Information Act requests, and they say nothing. I've even reached out for comment on several occasions. The FBI, initially under the Biden regime, telling me to fill out a FOIA request. I want to know the status of their investigation, which is unheard of. Normally, you ask the press team, the media relations team, and they tell you what the status is. But they wanted me to fill out the FOIA, so I did. And then, surprise, the FBI telling me that they can't give me any information due to privacy reasons. I wasn't asking for information regarding the victim. I never would ask that. That is obviously something that you'll never receive. I know this, obviously. I've covered several sexual assault cases. It's the reason why I got into news in the first place, were to cover these egregious crimes, make sure that the American people knew exactly what was happening. And for some reason, even though I'm specifically asking for the suspects, they won't tell me. But now we have a new administration, right? So you keep hearing that we have new leadership over at the FBI and they are looking to transform the FBI. They tell you this, but they don't actually show you any receipts in regards to that. So over the weekend, I reached out yet again, and I reached out twice under this new FBI leadership for more information on this case. The first time they ignored me. Second time, the media team responded to me in an email. And in that email, they refuse any type of transparency, saying we do not have any update or comment to share with you regarding that first case, being the U.S. service member in the email I sent them. Now, obviously, I followed up with that email and called them out. You've had more than 4 years to investigate this, and you've got nothing to show the American people. Also calling them out on their nonsense when they refer to themselves as trying to be transparent in that email that we have. My response to the FBI also included and called them out for when they decided to, remember that Thomas Crooks report I did, along with Miranda Devine and Tucker Carlson, how they referred to it as false media reporting, but they themselves intentionally left out important screenshots that proved that their statement was actually false too. See, this is the thing, right? They like to play these word games with you, and you give them the opportunity to create an avenue of transparency to comment on a story, they decide not to. And you would think, one would think, that this new FBI leadership would jump on this. Why wouldn't you? I'm not trying to bash the current administration. I'm simply asking what happened to these so-called Afghan refugees. They should know this. And again, it wouldn't even be a reflection on the current administration unless you are trying to protect the institution. And folks, I've got some very bad news for you. It appears that they are trying their very best to continue to protect the FBI. Remember the guys who were telling you, we're going to get rid of the Hoover building, turn it into a museum? Well, it looks like the people who are leading their media relations team are all on board with what the last administration was doing. We do not have any update or comment to share. 4 years later, they still can't tell me what the hell happened to those men. Are they now your neighbors? Were they released into our country? You have every right to know. Were charges ever brought up? I mean, I continue to try to key search it, but folks, if you don't have names, it's very, very hard to look up court filings. And they won't give me names. They won't give me any names. The FBI led this investigation. They are refusing to give us any information about a U.S. service member who was assaulted, likely a sexual assault, on a military base here in this country after we imported men from Afghanistan. And this is me ripping the FBI again for not doing their damn jobs. Folks, we are friends with a lot of these people who have made their way to the FBI. There is no reason for these types of responses unless you are still trying to cover up for the old FBI. It's very clear. Just put your PR hats on. It is very clear that my question isn't angled at beating up on the men who are currently leading this new FBI. My issue here is what happened to these men who were accused of assaulting a U.S. female service member. I don't know what else to say. This would have been a huge PR win for them if they would have just told us. Is there an investigation? Was there no proof of any assault at all? And that's the reason why they don't have anything to tell me. You could say something. To sit here and to say, we're not going to give you comment. We're not going to tell you where the investigation stands. You, the American people, you, the taxpayer, is garbage. Is absolute garbage. These men were brought into our country unvetted, and they went around sexually assaulting women and children. And it wasn't just them. And again, I'm not even arguing for let in the vetted ones. I'm done with all of it. No one. Because our own federal government admits that even when, and we play that soundbite for you with Tom Homan, the borders are saying it, even when we vet these individuals, we can't really vet them. The Taliban's not going to tell us that they're a part of their own organization, their own terror organization. What the heck do you think vetting does? And then the suspect here in D.C., the one who shot those two guardsmen, well, apparently, according to the information that was shuffled over and they granted him asylum, there were no signs that he was a terrorist. And in fact, they're saying that he was radicalized here on U.S. soil. So what the heck can we do? That means that the whole vetting process itself is garbage. So what do you do? Well, first off, if I were to present to you four apples, and I told you, one of those apples is poisonous. The other three are completely fine for you to eat. Would you gamble and eat one of those apples to see which one's poisonous? Any intelligent person would say no. They'd pass. And it's exactly what we need to do in this country. In fact, why don't they turn to the Arab world? Why aren't they taking these people in? There's a reason for that. There was an individual, first name Jamal, Wally's last name. He is an Afghan national. Now, we're going to play this clip for you. I don't have the clip number, but we're going to play this clip for you. And in it, this was from last year. In this video that you're about to listen to, he was involved in a police-involved shooting. This happened in Virginia. Now, he actually did shoot at police, and he did injure one of them. But keep in mind, folks, this is an Afghan refugee that we shuffled into this country because apparently, according to the Operation Allies Welcome program that was led by the Biden regime, he helped our service members overseas. But he doesn't seem so grateful or thankful when you actually speak to him. Listen to his interaction with law enforcement. I must warn you, it does end this video in a fatal police shooting. Take a listen.
I died when I was serving... You liars with you people with American
status. I served as well, sir.
Yeah. So you brought me to this, you people brought me to this country, and I'm dying every single day, and I have four children, and we wholly survive because you're a racist people.
Okay.
Yeah, because I can't get a job, I can't get a disability, and they took my because I'm not able to pay the insurance. So why are you trying to kill me?
I'm not trying to kill you.
No, you are. I'm already died. I don't give
said
a damn.
Idiot, armed, refusing to give ID. Don't reach for anything,
no,
dude.
No,
don't unbuckle
no,
that.
I'm telling you, don't reach. I don't
subject
give a damn. I don't give a damn. If you do anything, don't do anything.
Subject keeps reaching for his weapon.
No, I'm not reaching.
Sure. Just want to use the field. Tell us where you're restricted, 1439.
Sir, I stopped you for a lawful traffic stop.
I don't give a damn, you liar.
I'm not lying.
No, you're
it's
lying.
It's obviously right
you
there.
You are not. Today is
so
the day,
I'm,
buddy.
So what I'm asking
today
for is you to identify
liars,
yourself.
Dumbass liars, white people. You lied for 25 years. You brought me to this country. I served with special forces. I lost my own brother. I lost my whole everything.
I'm sorry.
I have nothing.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, you're sorry.
I can. This is take it. I take this with you. Okay.
So now you
no.
Hey,
no.
You reach
no.
Hey.
So
listen, American. This is take it. I take this with you. Okay.
So now you want to give me that?
Hey, don't you reach
no.
I take this with you, okay?
So now you want to...
No.
Hey, don't you reach
it.
Now, that Afghan man was killed by police. But folks, if you noticed, they allowed him way too much leverage. Their empathy, so, thankfully, didn't become fatal for them, at least. But they gave him time and time again to relax, to chill out. And the video itself, it goes on for a couple of minutes, but they continue to say, don't reach for your firearm. Don't reach for your firearm. If that were an American, they would have dragged him out of his car instantly. Instantly. So we got to keep talking about why they continue to sit there. And again, it is that fatal empathy that we have as Americans, where we want to be sympathetic to people from all over the world, because they want to believe that they are doing their best, that they want to actually contribute to society. But the reality of it is you heard him complaining about how we haven't done enough for him. We saved him from being killed by the Taliban. Now, again, he ended up losing his life, obviously having a mental breakdown and all of that. And I don't think he was an Islamic terrorist, but I do think he was an ungrateful Afghan who we brought into this country. And yes, it's going to be hard. Of course, it's going to be hard. But we don't owe you anything yet. We spared you and your children and your wife their lives, because they would have likely been slaughtered by the Taliban. Later also in that video, he also says that he wished he was actually fighting for the Taliban. And it's not just that. There were others, obviously, who were shuffled into this country who hate our guts, as you heard that individual outline for you. And thanks to the Biden regime, they were shuffled in, and we allowed it to happen. Countless sexual assaults, terrorist attacks planned out. Even this one, I want you to take a look at this. This was back in 2024. Maybe you remember it. There were two individuals, two Afghan nationals who received legal status under the Biden regime who pled, one of them did plead guilty to plotting a terrorist attack in Oakland City on election day in 2024. Now, that individual obviously was sentenced to 180 months in prison. Czar is his last name. Or Zaid, it probably is. Might be a typo. But that individual sentenced to 180 months. The other one is facing potentially 35 years in prison. Again, two individuals not very grateful for being brought to the United States. In fact, looking to kill us and carry out a terror attack on election day. On election day. And it goes on and on and on. And, you know, thankfully DHS even added a thread, but even that in itself, one was sentenced 15 years. Yes. So even DHS is outlining the crimes now committed by these Afghans that were shuffled into this country, and the crimes obviously being very egregious, but it's not surprising. Again, the vetting process is absolute garbage. There's no such thing. There is even an Afghan, and this one, I covered this on my ex page over the weekend, who was accused of raping a woman in Montana. Now, I read through the allegations he was facing. He apparently told police that she was into him and was aggressively throwing herself at him, but she claims it was rape. She was a teenage girl. He, I believe, was either 18 or 19 at the time, staying in a motel, but he was shuffled into our country by the Biden regime. Now, I keep looking up the ongoing cases, because keep in mind, this is 2021. So these people should all have their day in court. This guy, the one I just cited for you in Montana, I have not seen any court filings. Montana is very, very difficult, the state itself, to find out updates on their court filings due to privacy issues. So it's very, very hard to see where that sits. But there have been several other cases, even one in Fort McCoy, where one Afghan refugee was accused of attempting to rape a child. Again, I looked up the status on that investigation, even reached out to the DOJ to find out more. I don't have anything for you. Besides being indicted, that is all we have. All we have. And I just, for our control room, I actually just sent you guys in the link in the docs. I just sent you guys a link of the DHS thread itself, where they just go through all these cases. And it's not even all of them. There are several other that they're still missing out on. But let me remind you, folks, if they are not, this is it. Thank you, guys. They are not telling us the truth on all of this. A lot of these cases have gone MIA. We have no idea what's going on with them. And I'm wondering, what the heck are we doing here? Was the Biden administration intentionally trying its best to not tell us what was actually happening? These are, you're seeing these cases that are scrolling on your screen right now, if you're watching, from news articles. But where's the actual government updates? The government would know. Again, I've reached out to the DOJ. I've reached out to the prosecutor's office in Montana. And I don't have any updates for you. All I could tell you is that these people have been charged with crimes, and we know nothing about how those crimes have been resolved. It's been four plus years. You got to have something for us. Unfortunately, no one wants to be transparent anymore. We were promised transparency. That's not what we're receiving. So at the end of the day, this is kind of like what I want to hover over, is the simple fact that we continue to hear from this administration, we want transparency, we're going to be transparent, we're going to earn back the trust of the American people. And yet there is a fog over a lot of these three-letter agencies because they refuse to do what they told us. In fact, when I reach out for comments, many of them ignore, or they just try to really dodge it altogether. But the reality is we're not fringe, we're not some conspiracy theories, when we're simply asking you questions about what the heck happened in these cases. And although I do see, and we'll talk about it later in the show, I do see that unfortunately, the FBI deputy director has been on X quite often now, and he continues to go after those who are criticizing both him and Patel. I just want to be as transparent as possible. Maybe he doesn't realize it, but we continue to reach out for comments, to allow you the avenue to defend yourselves, to be transparent with the American people. And unfortunately, they just don't do that. They just don't do that. Actually, I just got some kind of breaking news about that story I just told you about, that rape, the alleged rape in Montana. I'll be getting those documents soon, but the Montana District Attorney's Office actually just responded to me, and I will bring you the latest once I get those documents back, saying that the case against that suspect, Muhammad is his last name, was closed on August 17th of 2022. The last document was filed on 2023, so I will be bringing that to you once we get that, of course, but the DA's office getting back to me, which I'm thankful for, and if we get that during the show, I will show you those documents and we'll go through that together. But there's a lot going on that we're going to continue to dive into on today's show. We haven't even touched the surface on all the news stories I want to make sure we catch you up on. We will, and this is the sexual assault case I'm talking about here. Again, he was accused of rape. The victim saying that this was unwanted. In his counter argument, he said that this was wanted. And the court just saying to me, the DA's office saying that the case has been closed and they are going to hopefully send me over those documents in just a few moments so we can see how that case concluded. Folks, in the meantime, I want to remind you all that we're doing our Cyber Monday sale over right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over to the shop and make sure you stock up on all your favorite items because it is 60% off the entire website. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. This is only going to last for a couple more hours. So you gotta go over there now. And when we run out, we're really gonna run out. And as many of you guys know, we do run out on all of your favorite items quite often. Beth Wayne, Red Back in Stock, and so much more. So head on over to the shop and make sure you grab yourself some right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We're discussing this in a moment. Don't go anywhere.
You are beyond insane. If you don't support us, if you don't support this broadcast, I mean, I'm being honest, it's like jumping out of an airplane without a parachute. It's like going into the Sahara Desert without a canteen of water. It's like sticking your wiener, you know, in somebody that's got 14 diseases without a condom. Sorry for the gross thing. The point is, shouldn't do it anyways. The point is that I need your support. And I'm only going to sell you stuff that works really great. Like I said, I've opened a restaurant to be the best food, best prices, best atmosphere, quality, service, because I want you to come in 1,000 times. I want a relationship with you. The products are insane. Ultramethylene blue, the Shilajit, the Irish sea moss, the bovine colostrum, not a sexy name, but what it does for your hair, skin, and whole body, everything else is insanely good. We got the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com right now, running till Friday. Black Friday comes early. Buy any supplement You can buy a supplement that costs $20 and then get a $40 supplement for free. It's not just buy one, get another free of the same thing. We've done that quite a few times. This is buy any supplement, get any other one free. All the new designs, all the new apparel in, the biggest selection of Patriot apparel in the world. Now 670-something designs, ball caps, you name it. 25% off on all that and a bunch of other insane sales. If you're a VIP, you get $40 to spend in the store each month. Special deals, special offers. Anybody and anything should be a VIP. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war. Share the live feeds.
Looking at? Do you have a problem?
You are the backers of this operation. You are the InfoWar. So go now to InfoWarStore.com, where we got probably the final shipment of the highest quality fish oil and the highest quality turmeric, Body's Ultimate Turmeric, 95% cumin. Those are both 40% off. I want to thank you all for your past support, but you've invested in this operation. It's paid off in global awakening. It's been so incredible. Thank you so much for being at the heart of this operation. So as all of our family members in the InfoWar, all of our team members, all of the emissaries, all the ambassadors of freedom against the globalists, that now at the thick of the battle, as you see it peaking and peaking and peaking, just as I've said, I don't come out here and talk about civil war, their plans for insurrection, their plans for military coups, just to sound scary. And then now they're openly calling for it. U.S. senators, members of Congress, CIA, because we're beating them, and it's the last move they've got. We're also going to add a link at InfoWarsStore.com today. You can make straight donations on there so that we get all the money and we can get past the shortfall. So I don't want to spend our valuable time on this.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
I'm grateful that the court ended the case against me, which was a prosecution based on malevolence and incompetence.
This investigation of the president was corrupt. The FBI and the Department of Justice were politicized and weaponized. And in my opinion, there are only two possibilities: that you were deliberately corrupt or woefully incompetent. And I don't believe you were incompetent.
This case mattered to me personally, obviously, but it matters most because a message has to be sent that the president of the United States cannot use the Department of Justice to target his political enemies. I don't care what your politics are, you have to see that as fundamentally un-American and a threat to the rule of law that keeps all of us free.
Did any FBI agents or confidential informants actively participate in the events of January 6th? Yes or no?
Sir, I can't answer that.
I know that Donald Trump will probably come after me again, and my attitude is going to be the same. I'm innocent. I am not afraid. And I believe in an independent federal judiciary.
Well, what I will say is that everybody knows that James Comey lied to Congress.
On May 3rd, 2017, in this committee, Chairman Grassley asked you point blank, quote, Have you ever been an anonymous source in news reports about matters relating to the Trump investigation or the Clinton investigation? You responded under oath, quote, never. He then asked you, quote, have you ever authorized someone else at the FBI to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump investigation or the Clinton administration? You responded again under oath, no. Now, as you know, Mr. McCabe, who works for you, has publicly and repeatedly stated that he leaked information to the Wall Street Journal and that you were directly aware of it and that you directly authorized it. Now, what Mr. McCabe is saying and what you testified to this committee cannot both be true. One or the other is false. Who's telling the truth?
I can only speak to my testimony. I stand by what the testimony you summarized that I gave in May of 2017.
So your testimony is you've never authorized anyone to leak. And Mr. McCabe, when if he says contrary, is not telling the truth. Is that correct?
Again, I'm not going to characterize Andy's testimony, but mine is the same today.
It's as clear as day. And this judge took an unprecedented action to throw these cases out to shield James Comey and Letitia James from accountability based on a technical ruling. And the administration disagrees with that technical ruling. We believe the attorney in this case, Lindsay Halligan, is not only extremely qualified for this position, but she was, in fact, legally appointed. And I know the Department of Justice will be appealing this in very short order. So maybe James Comey should pump the brakes on his victory lap.
Well, the Drudge Report, the Democrat Party mouthpiece, has the headline, Bondi blows it. Comey and James cases dismissed by another one of these globalist judges, the same ones that have said everything Trump's been doing is illegal, like arresting illegal aliens, and of course, higher courts then override it. But it's a lot harder when a criminal case gets dismissed by a judge.
Did the FBI do these investigations by the book?
No.
No question.
No question.
These FBI records about the burn bags came to light during the criminal prosecution of former FBI Director James Comey. These burn bags contained records from Mar-a-Lago, January 6th, and the FBI Russia probe.
Someone has access to those different cases, a very limited source.
So limited source or a very senior person.
Right.
Is the fact that there was an investigator level briefing for journalists at the New York Times.
That is highly, if it's not illegal, I don't know what it is.
Lindsay showed the receipts that Kash Patel and Dan Bongino found, including in the burn bags inside of a skiff inside the FBI. They were trying to destroy this evidence, and Cash and Dan found it, turned it over to Lindsay, and Lindsay filed her response to Comey's motion to dismiss for malicious prosecution.
The CIA warns the FBI, and then at the same time, they're applying to the National Security Court using information, which is opposition research.
Right. You can ruin somebody's life by just open investigation on them.
The globalists have most of the courts. They have the big corporations. They have a lot of the brainwashed young people. They have the universities. They don't have the mind of the average person anymore. But to them, they all feel insulated. They can just, as a mob, move against us in different ways. And that they're going to be victorious in the end. I can assure you that it's not going to go the way you think.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you are all joining us. A lot going on over here. We're excited to have you on with us today. As you can tell, we're not in our normal setup. We are in Washington, D.C., and we are thankfully over at the Rumble Studio bringing you this broadcast because there's a lot happening in Washington, D.C. As many of you guys know, I am now credentialed as an independent journalist to be covering the Pentagon, and that is why we are here. It is Media Week for the Pentagon, new media, and I look forward to heading on over there and conducting some very exclusive interviews with some top Pentagon officials. Look forward to that, of course. We will also be hitting the streets, and we're going to try to figure out what's been going on in D.C. over these last few months so far. So we're in swamp territory, so we're going to take full advantage of just that. But there's a lot of stories that we wanted to make sure we covered that you may have not seen over the holiday week. President Trump has been, since that horrific terror attack that was carried out by an Afghan refugee, has been really clamping down on immigration. We're going to play clip 7 for you because President Trump says he's just done with these migrants who've come into our country from third world countries. And they are, in fact, permanently stopping them from continuously flooding in. Take a listen.
access asylum into the U.S.?
I think a long time.
Can you give any kind of time?
We don't want those people. We have enough problems. We don't want those people.
Is that a year, 2 years?
No time limit. But it could be a long time.
You said that.
We don't want those people. Do you understand that?
I understand.
You understand it?
I understand.
Who are you with?
I'm with News Nation. Sorry.
Okay.
My name's Libby Dean.
News Nation. Great. Great.
Thank you.
Let me just tell you something. We don't want those people. Does that make sense? You know why we don't want them? Because many have been no good, and they shouldn't be in our country.
What do you mean by those people? Can you clarify?
The people from different countries that are not friendly to us, and countries that are out of control themselves. Countries like Somalia that have virtually no government, no military, no police. All they do is go around killing each other. Then they come into our country and tell us how to run our country. We don't want them.
How many countries, roughly, would you put on that list?
She said how many
countries, would you put on that list?
Well, I guess we gave you 19, right?
Okay.
There's probably more than that.
Is that what you mean when you mean third world countries, those 19?
No, I don't think they're all third world, but in many cases they are third world. They're not good countries. They're very crime-ridden countries. They're countries that don't do a good job. They're countries that don't register from the standpoint of success. And we, frankly, don't need their people coming into our country telling us what to do.
When you talk about denaturalization...
I'm talking about, like, Somalia, where you have a congressman goes around telling everybody about our Constitution, and yet she supposedly came into our country by marrying her brother.
Oh, they hate it when you talk about... Oh, they hate it when you talk about Ilhan Omar like that. The reality of it is Somalians, and we're going to go into great depth about it in a little bit into the show, but Somalians, they don't contribute much. And by much, that's me being nice. They don't contribute anything. I asked you guys all yesterday on X, what has Somalian refugees contributed to the United States? And the answer is nada. Not a single person was able to pull up a single contribution thanks to Somalians. The reality of it is they are the ones who are committing fraud. That's something that most people don't want you to talk about, but we have the evidence to prove just that's been going on for years now. Everyone's just afraid of calling it out. They are obviously, I guess, contributing to lowering our IQ statistics. In case you haven't heard, the average Somalian has around a 68-point IQ level. Not exactly very, very high. And when you compare that to other countries, it is very, very clear that they are the bottom of the barrel when it comes to IQ. And yet we continue to funnel them into this country. And it's not even like they're thankful for having the opportunity to be around people who are highly intelligent, people that are able to build things and possibly take those things back to Somalia and try to find themselves a way to build up their country. No, no, no. They're leeching. They're leeching through fraud. They're leeching through corruption. And they hate us. And they let us know that all the time. They continuously come to our country, fly their flags. Obviously, if you live in Minnesota, you know what I'm talking about here. And, not many people want to call it out. Not many people want to call it out. But thankfully, President Trump doing just that. When we talk about not bringing in people from third world countries anymore, it's important to note people like this. I believe he's American born, but his family were brought here. You couldn't really tell based on the pirate appearance. But these people, and I'll say it because I don't care what the mainstream media says, define these people. Well, these people... these Somalian people, these people who come from low IQ countries, were allowed to almost exclusively fly into our country over for 4 years now. And the Biden regime allowed it. In fact, they encouraged it. They flew them in. They flew them in. Not because they could actually contribute actual skills to our society, but because they would be leeches to our system. They would strongly rely on welfare because they have no educational background. Most can't even read. Most don't even care to learn English. And so Democrats know those are people who are going to vote for them if ever given the opportunity to vote. Because, well, the reality is those people rely on the government because they are not capable of being able to survive on their own. And that's why Democrats funneled them in. It's one of the many reasons. Many reasons. So President Trump now doing just that, putting that ban. They're like, how many? Couple of years? Couple of months? Maybe forever. Maybe forever. You shouldn't be ashamed to say it. If you love this country, you should be able to go out there and say that we, in fact, want the best, the brightest to join us. If they're not the best or the brightest, they can't find any type of refuge here in the United States. And it's okay to say that. It is okay to say that. Only treasonous pigs would allow those who cannot contribute to our society, in fact, would leech and suck this country dry of all of our great financial resources, would encourage those to come in who don't actually have anything to contribute. Now, Mark Kelly, the senator from Arizona, he's not very happy with the administration, and obviously he's had a very rough couple of days, potentially facing criminal charges himself. But in clip 8, he's going after the administration for not wanting brown people here. Take a listen.
When I heard the secretary say that they're going to pause immigration from third world countries, I mean, I take that as a message that they don't want brown people coming to the United States. And I find that disturbing. We are a country that has always welcomed individuals that are struggling, that are fleeing famine and violence. And it would be a fundamental change to the fabric of our nation to change that.
Oh, wouldn't that be a shame? Wouldn't that be a shame? I don't think it would be. Mark Kelly obviously doing his very best to drum up the racist narrative, but the reality of it is we know the facts. We know the facts. And you're not a racist for wanting your country to succeed. At this point in the game, just I'm done with asylum. I actually used to be very liberal on this issue. Yes, we are a country built off of immigrants, but those were the kind of immigrants that wanted to contribute to our society, the kind of immigrants that actually wanted to help make the United States a better country, America a better country. And sadly, those aren't the people we're bringing in. Time and time again, we see it. Those who are going through our process hate our guts. They hate our guts. So why would a country ever continue this? And we continue to talk about denaturalizing these people, but no one's actually pulling the trigger on that. Why? Well, because everyone's afraid of being called a really mean name. No, if they don't love and appreciate this country, get them out of here. Get them out of here. And it's never ending. It's never ending. In fact, outlets like CNN, they're drumming up the narrative too. Clip 10 we're going to play for you. CNN is detailing how one illegal was tossed out by the federal government just recently. And it's kind of interesting to see, because when you deport one illegal, apparently four more head out with them. So it's actually a bargain these days. Take a listen.
Lois Santos has lived in the United States for 3 years. She's been raising her children on her own since January, after her husband was deported. She tells me she wanted to stay in the country longer and have better education for her kids. Gomez Santos says ICE agents contacted her over the phone and gave her an option to either be detained or self-deport. She believes leaving is the best choice for her family. She says, I don't want my kids to see someone come into the house with a gun or have them or her be handcuffed. Gomez Santos plans to make the most of her last few days she has here. She still says she has plenty to be grateful for. She's thankful to God, for her kids and family. I asked her what she'll miss most about being here in the U.S.
Las personas.
The people, she tells me. She's grateful for the kind people she's met and the calmness that Tucson's brought her.
Well, we're sorry to see you go. Just kidding, we're not. If you come into our country illegally, you do not have a right to be here. We owe you nothing, and you should be forced to leave. Here's the reality. How long has she been here for? She hasn't learned English. Again, it's just another sign that these people do not want to contribute to our society. You could sit here and come with a bunch of excuses as to why they're allowed to not learn English, but the reality of it is when my family came here, they learned English pretty quickly, and they tried their very best to become contributors to society and not leeches. And that's the key point to all of this, folks. We have people who have now come into this country off the promises of free, 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 and they're looking to cash out at your expense, of course. So although it might seem cruel to wish all of them to be deported, the reality of it is they're stealing resources from Americans. We should not be paying for this. We are a nation in debt. We are a nation that is continuously becoming worse and worse in debt. And for some reason, we continue to allow all of this. So self-deport, head on out of here. We highly recommend you do just that. And in fact, the Trump administration has thrown in financial incentives for you to get the heck out of here too. Paying you money, paying for your flights. Adios. Let's continue the discussion though, of course. You may have seen it. Now, I'm no fan of the R word. I know. I'm not someone who personally uses it. I know I have a lot of friends who do not agree with it being used. My mom becomes infuriated if she hears the R word. But I wanted to play clip 9 for you because President Trump did refer to Tim Walz as retarded. And obviously that has the media very upset. So here's how President Trump responded. Take a listen.
Tim Walz, and you call him what many Americans define an offensive word, retarded. Do you stand by that claim of calling Tim Walz retarded?
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with him. Absolutely, sure.
You have
a problem with him? You know what? I think there's something wrong with him. Anybody that would do what he did, anybody that would allow those people into a state and pay billions of dollars out to Somalia, we give billions of dollars to Somalia. It's not even a country because it doesn't function like a country. It's got a name, but it doesn't function like a country. Yeah, there's something wrong with Walz.
Well, there is something wrong with Walz. The American people know that. That's the reason why they rejected him. As I've joked time and time again, Tampon Tim is someone who the rest of us have just been left scratching our head. He's very feminine, obviously, and that's putting it nicely. As the president said, he didn't believe that men should have tampons in the men's bathroom until he saw Tim Walz. And it's very apparent that that's what he's using these days. I'll leave the rest of that a mystery to you. But, you know, the reality of it is Tim Walz has allowed these Somalian migrants, as kids call it, full access to our federal resources and has allowed them to leech the system. And we've seen time and time again all of these crimes be committed, some being indicted, some not, though. And we continue to see reports that they're actually sending us back to terrorist organizations in Somalia, which is great, right? As if we weren't funneling enough money from our own federal government to the Taliban. Now we're supporting Somalian terrorists. Now, President Trump time and time again continues to rip Somalia, and he did so again in clip 11. Take a listen.
What do you mean by those people? Can you
the people from different countries that are not friendly to us and countries that are out of control themselves. Countries like Somalia that have virtually no government, no military, no police. All they do is go around killing each other. Then they come into our country and tell us how to run our country. We don't want them.
What are you talking about?
You got to talk up.
She said how many countries?
Is there a list?
Well, I guess we gave you 19, right?
Okay.
That is probably more than that.
Is that what you mean when you mean third world countries, those 19?
No, I don't think they're all third world, but in many cases they are third world. They're not good countries. They're very crime-ridden countries. They're countries that don't do a good job. They're countries that don't register from the standpoint of success. And we frankly don't need their people coming into our country telling us what to do.
When you talk about DNAP,
I'm talking about like Somalia, where you have a congressman goes around telling everybody about our constitution, and yet she supposedly came into our country by marrying her brother. Well, if that's true, she shouldn't be a congressman, and we should throw her the hell out of our country.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the truth, and the reality is these people don't want to hear it. I would also back President Trump's argument in regards to why are we letting them dictate what we do in this country? They have no qualifications. They have no experience building a successful government. In fact, their country for centuries has been unable to pull together anything. They are not intelligent people. It is something that obviously nobody really wants to say out loud because they're afraid of what the backlash that might create. But the reality of it is Somalians, like so many other third world countries, are unable to create a government that is functioning. They're unable to. So then we allow them into our country. We allow them to run for government. And what do they bring to the table? Well, obviously nothing. No intellectual conversations, no ideas of substance on how we can make this country a better place for all. No, they're here because they hate us. They're here because they hate our success. They hate the fact the United States of America is an incredible, incredible country. And so people like Ilhan Omar and others, when you continue to see them come into the United States, they have nothing but hate and fury that they continue to advocate for. They do not advocate for a better United States. We are the best country in the world. Nobody could argue that. Well, they'll try to, but you're not winning me over. The United States of America is the best country in the world, and anyone who wants to sit there and pretend like it's not are probably terrorists. They hate us for our success, and they are coming to our country to destroy us. There is no other way to look at this. They come from hellholes, dumpsters, whatever you want to call it, and then they pretend like they somehow, some way should have some type of voice in our country. Why don't you just sit back and enjoy what our ancestors have worked so hard to protect and to bring forward? We've allowed you the gift of coming to this country. If you can't contribute because you're incapable of it, then sit back. But the reality is no, that's not why they're here. You hear Ilhan Omar continuously pledge her alliance to Somalia. And this is what we have to deal with. Now, when it comes to the fraud, Governor Tim Walz is someone who continues to go out there and try to dodge the question, because obviously a bunch of this has happened under his leadership. And in clip 13, you're going to hear how he did his very best yesterday to dodge the specifics about Somalians committing fraud here in the United States. Take a listen.
Dozens of people of East African descent have been charged, convicted, and sentenced for stealing more than $1 billion in taxpayer money from government programs during COVID. As you know, Governor, that is more than Minnesota spends each year to run its Department of Corrections. So I want to give you a chance to respond to this. Do you take responsibility for failing to stop this fraud in your state?
Well, certainly I take responsibility for putting people in jail. Governors don't get to just talk theoretically. We have to solve problems. And I will note, it's not just Somalis. Minnesota is a generous state. Minnesota is a prosperous state, a well-run state. We're AAA bond rated, but that attracts criminals. Those people are going to jail. We're doing everything we can. But to demonize an entire community on the actions of a few, it's lazy.
Ah, don't you dare demonize. Dare demonize those coming from Somalia to take your money and funnel it over to their terrorist buddies. It's absolutely egregious. Noteworthy. I can't even speak today. That's no different from any other day, folks. But it is worth noting that over the weekend, the Minnesota Department of Human Services put out a very interesting tweet. Take a look at this. They actually call out Tim Walz for being at fault for the massive fraud that's taken place over these last few years. 100% is what they're saying is the fault of Walz. So they continue to go on and detail exactly how it is his fault and how it's been a catastrophic failure on his part and how he continues to allow these leeches to commit fraudulent acts and take your money and shuffle it over to people that hate us, other people that hate us in Somalia. So good on them for calling him out. And it's worth noting, too, that this tweet, thankfully, has got a lot of attention. If you look at this, even the New York Times having to confront this and put it out in theirs, their outlet. But 34 million people have viewed this one. Isn't that great? More on the way. Don't go anywhere. We got a lot more to dig into.
I do want to tell you about a sale that we've got going on InfoWarsStore.com. I feel like it's been forever since I've plugged InfoWarsStore.com. But let me tell you, folks, I'm plugging it for a good reason, because it is the final batch. Of two of our most bombshell, widely respected, well-known, and powerful supplements, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bod Ease Turmeric Supplement. And this is a critical moment. If you've been thinking about improving your health, now is the time to act. And not just for the sake of your well-being, but to help keep InfoWars on air as long as possible. For a limited time, we're offering 40% off two of our best-selling products, Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Whole Body Support. Our fish oil is packed with essential omega-3s to support your heart, brain, and joints, while our turmeric helps with inflammation and boosts your overall wellness. Both products are powerful tools in your daily health routine. But here's the reality. We at InfoWars could be shut down in the very near future. We need your support right now, and the funds from these sales are critical for keeping the fight going as long as possible. Once the supply is gone, you might not have a chance to restock or even be around for to offer these products again. We might not be around to offer these products ever again. 40% off Ultimate Fish Oil, 40% off the Bodies Turmeric Supplement. It is a massive discount, and it's your chance now to grab these high-quality supplements while helping us survive. Do not wait. Head to InfoWarsStore.com, buy now, and keep us going. Every purchase helps. Every order makes a difference. And like I said, these could be the final runs of Ultimate Fish Oil and Bodies Turmeric Supplement, two of our most powerful and beloved supplements. Please do go get Ultimate Fish Oil today at InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air, in the fight, and keep yourself healthy.
Discover a wide variety of products at InfoWarsStore.com. From shirts, books, hats, survival gear to essential documentaries and supplements, InfoWarsStore.com has got you covered. We have the highest quality at the lowest prices. Visit InfoWarsStore.com and help support the InfoWar.